All right. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I will begin reading in verse 15 and read to the end of the chapter. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. And notice it is capitalized. And I appreciate that from the translators, because there is no question as to who this is speaking about. Those in the New Testament, because it's clearly recorded in the New Testament, this prophet is Jesus Christ. Yes. Prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. They understood that momentarily.
Yeah.
But how quickly we forget.
Right.
And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken.
Yes, sir.
I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ was none other than God Almighty manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
But as our prophet, priest, and king, he humbled himself and submitted himself to the command of the Father.
Yes,
and it goes on, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. That is, and both Paul and Joe was mentioned, you will hear him or you will perish.
Amen.
And this is to hear in more ways than just through the physical ear.
Right.
It is to hear down inside here.
Yeah.
I will require it of him, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, and there's a lot of them still around today.
Mm-hmm.
We call them preachers today.
Yeah.
But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And thou shalt say, and if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Here's the answer to the question. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him.
Amen.
There is so much here.
Yeah.
What is amazing is we've been coming through the law,
yeah,
or specifically in this book, the second giving of the law. And we, of course, have been seeing types and shadows and symbols all along.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, God breaks forth with a direct revelation of messianic prophecy concerning Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
These people who heard Moses say this heard about the Christ of God.
Amen.
They did not know his human name,
yeah,
but they were hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a direct prophecy, and what I want to try to do this morning is concentrate on this. God's Christ versus the imposter.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of imposters today.
Right.
And I'm not talking about men who claim to be Christ, though there have been a few nuts come along upon the scene that claim to be some Messiah. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not even what Moses necessarily is talking about. Moses asked the question, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? How am I going to know the difference between that prophet,
yeah,
that one that you better hear,
yes, sir,
that one that you better pay heed to, and the message of someone else that is not of the Lord?
Yeah.
I've had people to ask me a very similar question. How do I know what the truth is? How do I know? And they feel this way because there is so much confusion in professed Christianity.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Different beliefs, different ideas, different denominations, different understandings, different explanations, and I understand why most people are so confused. And secondly, most people don't want to really know the truth. They want to hear what fits them best. And there's so much confusion. But let me say this. The Christ that is being preached by most preachers today, the one they claim is the Messiah, Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is an imposter.
Yes, sir.
Because they will tell you, and I know this is, we say it over and over again on many occasions, God's done all He can do, now it's up to you. They say Jesus made it possible for you to be saved if. That is not what Moses tells us here.
Right.
He says that prophet will speak exactly what God commanded him to speak, and it shall come to pass.
Amen.
Is that not what is prophesied of the Messiah? What he says must come from God, and it will come from God, for he is that prophet that God will raise up.
Yes, sir.
And what he's going to speak, what he has to say, shall come to pass.
Amen.
Men say, well, Christ died for all the world and wants all the world to be saved. Then if that was what he said, then that is what must come to pass. If Jesus Christ died to save all without exception, then all without exception must be saved.
That's right.
Or Jesus of Nazareth is not the Christ. But man is so depraved, Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ.
Amen.
But they twist what he said and what he came to do. So how shall we know the difference between God's Christ and the imposters? The answer is, Christ shall bring to pass all that the Father commands him, and God's Christ shall speak of the particulars. Jesus of Nazareth said these words, and if you wish to follow along, you turn to John chapter 8. This is what Jesus of Nazareth said, John chapter 8, and verse 25. Then said he unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. So he said, My message has stayed the same.
Amen.
Hasn't changed at all. Jesus Christ was not adapting what he said to the times. He was speaking the very commanded words God sent him to speak.
Amen.
And I have many things to say, and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him.
Amen.
There's that prophet.
Yes, sir.
Now, like I said, there's many things we can say about that, but I want to concentrate on this. On this. God's Christ versus the imposter. Now, notice Christ said, I speak to the world.
Yes, sir.
Does that mean he spoke to all men? Without exception? No. But he spoke to the world.
Yes, sir.
And then men want to argue what the word world means.
Oh, yeah.
Now look, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. Now, the he's put in there, it doesn't destroy it, but it could confuse you a little. He said, then you'll know I am, and that I do nothing of myself.
Amen.
But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.
Yeah,
he's the only man that could ever honestly say those words.
Yeah, right.
This man cannot. And no man or woman out here cannot. Or hearing me on there, they cannot. Listen to what else he said. Turn to chapter 12. Jesus of Nazareth is that prophet.
Yes, sir.
He is that. And that's what he's actually enforcing. And John records it, and we just read it, John 8:25-29. But now listen to John 12, and let's begin in verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." Now what's he saying here? That you can't believe God the Father unless you believe him. And if you believe him, it's not just about him. You are honoring God the Father.
Amen.
"And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." What's he saying there? I am equal with God the Father.
Amen.
"Look, I am come a light into the world." For what reason? He does not say so that all the world would be saved. Is that what he says?
No.
But what does he say? "I am come into the world that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness." Now listen, why don't men just lay it right there? But rebellious men cannot.
Right.
Look what else he said. "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world."
Amen.
Now either he did it,
yeah,
or he was an imposter.
Exactly.
Correct?
Yes,
sir. Either he did it, or he was a false prophet speaking presumptuously. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment." Do you see it? "A commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak."
Amen.
"And I will add nothing more and nothing less."
That's right.
So these are the very words of Jesus Christ, are they not? Did not Jesus of Nazareth say, "I am come to save the world"? This is what the Father commanded him to come say and to do. I believe he did it. I believe he did it. The imposter that's preached today says he made it possible for it to be done. But he didn't really do it. I'm saying he did it. I'm saying he did it because the Father commanded him to say it and to do it.
Amen.
This was his command, and he clearly declared it to be what the Father commanded him to do. Now the question is, do you believe he did that or not?
Amen. That's right.
That's where you're going to have to confront Jesus Christ's words straightforward. I came to save the world. Did he do it or not? If you give any, but we don't blame God, we blame men. No, you are lying through your teeth. You are lying through your teeth. The Messiah would say exactly what the Father commanded him to do, and it must come to pass. Now, hear the scripture, and I want you to listen as I read, and I'm going to read the apocalyptic summary, that is the summary of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The words I want to read is Revelation chapter 5, and let me move on. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." So we understand that this was a scroll, and it was written on both sides, and it's rolled up, but then it's sealed with seven seals. Of course, did we later see the seven seals starting to be loosed, opened up, each one individually, and who's opening them, we will see. Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen.
And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, John, don't weep. Don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Here is a man. Here is a man. The prophet, the one likened to Moses, a deliverer. Moses was going to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, was he not? Did that depend? Look at how rebellious they were all throughout 40 years, and yet God accomplished his purpose. Yes or no? Shall our unbelief make the faith of God without none effect? God forbid. God forbid. Look. The Root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And notice the amazing language. The seals are not even being broken yet, but he's already prevailed to do it. Isn't that amazing? God talks in these enigmas and say, somebody says, well, that's a contradiction. No, your mind and my mind is so puny and so small, we can't get it. God is eternal. Therefore, there is nothing new with God. Let me go on. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders. And now all of a sudden, what's he see? The Lion of the tribe of Judah? The Root of David? Yes. Yes. But that's not what he actually seen when he seen him, was it? In the midst of it stood a lamb as it had been slain. And folks, that's the gospel.
Amen.
That's the gospel. All of eternity is fixed toward that purpose. Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain. All of it is. Without that message, you got no gospel. I don't care how much Bible you preach. Like old Rolf said, John 3:16 ain't got a lick of gospel in it. Said everybody's mouth is dropped. No, John 3:14 is the gospel. John 3:16's testimony about the gospel. And I think that's pretty good. And I'm sure them Southern Baptists, some of them just didn't know what to think. As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him to set upon the throne. Now that's saying something. That's saying something. You and I ain't going to be able to do that. Oh no. Oh no. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, and the 420 elders jumped up and just started, hallelujah to the Lord. Now these are the beasts and the elders.
That's right.
They're already in glory.
Yes.
They're around the throne.
Yes, sir.
Are they not?
Yes.
And are they, hallelujah, glory? Is that what they're doing? Look at what they did. Fell down before the Lamb.
Amen.
Oh, what a day that will be, folks. When God permits us by His grace to fall down to Jesus Christ of Nazareth's feet. And Mac, maybe even just get a touch of Him and kiss Him.
Right.
He saved my soul.
Amen.
He is saving me from myself. Look! And He took the book and the four and the bear, they fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, new to them.
Yeah.
Not new to God.
But
new to them. They sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain.
Amen.
And hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation. There He saved the world. It's more, but there's at least one of every kind of person saved by the grace of God through the blood of Christ. I believe there's more than one because this is a vast group of people. Huh? By that, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Amen.
Has not the world been saved?
Amen.
Have redeemed us to God by thy blood, and notice, out of. He didn't redeem every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every nation, did he? But he did redeem out of all of that some. Did he not? Did he not? This is the truth of God. That's the apocalyptic summary. Listen to the one who cried in the wilderness, who was sent of God to announce the coming of God. The Christ. John chapter 1, if you wish to follow along. John 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John, that is, John the Baptist. And when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And that, you know, I think most preachers wouldn't mind had they been the Christ. But they ain't going to be the Christ. And let me tell you, sadly, most preachers are preaching that imposter.
Yeah, right.
That imposter. Look what he says. "I am not the Christ." So they ask him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said to them, "I am not." "Are thou that prophet?" Huh? Now they're trying to be sly. They're not truly looking for the answer. They're trying, just like they did with Christ, to trip him up in his words.
Yeah.
Because any sound-minded Jew that had been taught from the Holy Scriptures knew that that prophet was the Christ.
Amen.
He was the Messiah. And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah," or Isaiah as we have here. "And they that were sent were of the Pharisees." That answers a lot of what's going on here. "And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie his shoes." That's a whole lot different attitude than what most so-called professed Christians believe about Jesus today, isn't it? That's because their Jesus is an imposter. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, right there he is. Now, we've already looked at the apocalypse in the summer, the Lamb of God. John announced him when he came into the world as the Lamb of God. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God."
That's right.
I don't know, Mason, that he did this, but I can almost see it as he's pointing. Look, behold, gaze upon him. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I want to be one of them.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you know the world got to mean all without exception. If you believe that, then you've never really honestly studied this book.
You're right.
There is no way you can, the word "world" is used to hundreds of times, never can it ever be used to say all without exception.
You're right.
Never. But it is the world. Because God, the Lamb, hath redeemed a people to God by His blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. As a matter of fact, you remember what it said about Noah? He was a preacher of righteousness. And God saved 8 people. And the world was condemned. Well, there was eight people that wasn't a part of that world.
That's exactly right.
Right? Right? That's what it says. Yeah. Hebrews, you can read it yourself. Hebrews chapter 11. By which he condemned the world. But that world did not include eight people.
Exactly.
And here's a world that don't include all without exception, but bless God, it's the world.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, what did he do as the Lamb? He took away the sin of the world. So how can anything condemn them?
Exactly.
There is no sin.
That's right.
There is no sin. But, no but, Jesus is the Christ. He is that prophet. He said, I came to save the world. He did it.
Amen.
John said he was going to do it.
Amen.
The elders and all of this vast horde says, you did it.
Amen.
You did it. Did Jesus of Nazareth take away the sin of the world or not? Are you going to believe the book or not? Or are you going to sit around and argue about the meaning of the word world?
Hmm?
Yeah, well, let's look at all the passages. No, you're just obfuscating from God's truth what you're doing. There's one more witness, an apostle's inspired testimony. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's an apostle's inspired testimony about this, about the Christ of God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's given to us the ministry or the service of reconciliation. Not that we bring it to pass, but we announce it.
Yeah.
We're declaring it. That's
right.
That's all we can do. That's all we can do.
Yeah.
But look what it says. To wit. In other words, I'm going to explain this to you. You know what? To wit. Let me explain. Look. That God was, past tense, not is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Announce that this is so.
Amen.
And know what he says? Yeah. Now sinners, bow down to it. Now sinners, bow down to it. Look at, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And what's he talking about? The context is bow down to this truth.
Yes, sir.
Bow down to this reconciler.
Amen.
Bow down to his son.
Amen.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All you want to do is debate and argue the phrase the world and who that world is, then you've missed the truth. Because this book says we believe Christ. We believe on him, we believe in him, but we also believe him. He said, I came to save the world. Now, is he a liar or did he tell the truth? Mason, if he didn't do what he said he came to do, then he's a liar. He's an imposter. But Jesus of Nazareth is no imposter. He is no imposter. Listen to what God prophesied of the Messiah. And I'll read this one to you. You don't have to take time to turn. I'll just read it to you. Remember this. Show yourselves men. Bring it to mind, O ye transgressors. So who's he talking to? You and me.
That's right.
Well, I thought this was a book written to Jews. It was. It was. But Isaiah is clearly told they're not going to hear it. Read it in chapter 6.
Yeah.
Before he goes through any of this, you go out and preach it to them. But their hearts are going to be hardened. Their eyes are blind. Their ears are stopped. He said a tenth. A tenth. A tenth. Now look. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now that is God. And Jesus Christ was no less than that God.
Amen.
Calling a ravenous bird from the east. A ravenous bird. Not a beautiful peacock. A ravenous bird.
Yeah.
Some kind of raptor, Joe, that would eat the flesh of another beast. But I call a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it.
Amen.
Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. Let me tell you something. God breathes life into every one of his people at the exact moment he declared to do so. And he converts every one of his people at the exact moment that he's ordained to do so. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory.
Amen.
Well, there you go, preacher. He's talking to Israel. Again, I tell you, go back and read Isaiah 6. But we have more testimony about that. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Well, but that's talking about the Jews, preacher. Got testimony from Scripture. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Circumcision is not that of the flesh. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. This is a work of God for Israel, for the true Jews, those that God breathes life into and sends his gospel, and they bow down to his Son, the Lamb, who redeemed them to God by his blood out of every kindred and nation and tongue and people. He saved the world.
Amen.
He saved the world.
Save
them. They're going to reign with him one day.
That's right.
Is redeemed out of every tribe, kin. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do you believe that? Now, let me close this. Has their sins been taken away? If he died for you, your sins are taken away.
Amen.
And I know people want to ask the question, well, preacher, I believe Jesus died for the elect. Well, that's good. The Bible teaches that.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, preacher, I believe Jesus died only for the elect. That's good. This Bible teaches that.
Yeah.
But that's just doctrine.
Yeah.
That's just a belief of mind. And it can be a belief of heart. But do you believe him who did that redeeming? Has God bowed you in your heart to the feet of his dear Son? Their sin's been taken away. They are reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, and it's an act of God not imputing their trespasses unto them. And Mason Lilly, he was doing that 2,000 years ago. As a matter of fact, he was doing that in Christ before the world began.
Amen.
Else he'd have damned us all when he created this world and we rebelled against him in our daddy Adam. So, who is the world? Here's the world that Christ came to save. Christ said, I know my sheep and them known of mine. I call them by name. I call them individually and they shall hear my voice. Why? Because it's his responsibility. And there shall be, although there are two folds, there are some who, and when he spoke back then at least, there were some who were not of this fold, the Jewish fold, but there is a Jewish fold, but there's some of another fold. He said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And that's where we are today.
Yes, sir.
That's the world he saved.
Amen.
The world of the sheep. And Christ specifically told some, he said, my sheep will hear my voice, they'll follow me. He told some people, you're not my sheep.
That's right.
And you don't believe because you're not my sheep.
Exactly.
Now, do you believe that Christ or do you believe the imposter?
That's it.
You know, the gospel is so profound, Jack, but yet it is that simple. Jesus Christ did everything the Father sent him to do. He accomplished it, and it will, yea, it must come to pass. Do you believe that Christ, or do you believe another?